24-7, where we reveal Christ through the pages of the scripture. We consider it a very great deal of honor and responsibility to be on your knees feed, knees page, ministering God's word. And it's providing clarity to those naughty issues and knocking away every unbiblical age-long traditions. For the past four episodes, we have been on the knockout series, and we've been dealing about timing, season, when is God blessing, is it the right time, the cue, the first season, the first system, the second system. And I hope you've been greatly blessed. In case you missed any of those episodes, oh, you really need to go and listen. We are encouraged by the views. We are encouraged by the comments. We are encouraged by the private questions. So in case you still have more questions on this matter and you felt like we have not really touched some aspects, please, you still send us those comments. You send us those private messages. And as the Lord give us the ability, we will answer based on his word. And so today the train is moving, and it's moving again. You just have to join in. You need to call in your friends, you know, to join in now, because we are moving to a different area. And where are we going today? We are talking about that very sensitive issue. We are talking about money now, knocking out on money. I'm sure it's going to make some people very uncomfortable, you know. We are talking about people's means of survival, people's instrument of trade. We are talking about money, finances. We are going to talk about the sowing, all those offerings, first fruits and the likes. So really, 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 you need to sit back today and listen. And in case you are not going to be there for this live transmission, just find a way to download and try to listen. So today we are starting off powerfully on giving. And so I'm going to leave that to you.
Now, viewers all over the world, thank you for connecting with us on Knockout Series 5 today. Okay. Now, clearly, today we are knocking out something very critical. And don't forget the vision behind this knockout series. For if you're joining us today for the very first time, let me just clarify the vision behind this series to you. The vision behind that is what we find in Colossians chapter 2, verse 8, that says that we shouldn't allow anyone to cheat us out of our benefit in Christ because of vain traditions, philosophies of men, and all those things that devoid us of the benefit of the cross of Christ. And so what we're doing is so critical, because if you as a Christian or a child of God or somebody who actually desires to walk in the fullness of what God has for you, if you don't take heed, there are some traditions of men that have crept into the church, into the body of Christ, that can devoid or cheat you or spoil you of your benefits of redemption. And those are the things we're actually exploring. So today, we're on the notion of giving. And the question we're asking is, do you have to give in order for God to bless you? Do you have to give in order for you to reap an harvest of God's favor upon your life? And that's the question we are actually looking at today. That is the very thing we are knocking out today on this Knockout Series 5. And so that question is simple. Do you really need to give in order for you to reap the harvest of God's favor and God's blessing over your life? What does the scripture say? Now, I want you to listen to this in view of the fact that you will need to, in a way, whatever you've heard people say in church, whatever you've heard people say, Christians talk about a lot. I want you to open your mind and make sure you, expose yourself today to the clarity of what God has to offer to you. Okay. Now, I'm going to start straight away in the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. Now, don't forget, the question we're asking is, do you need to give in order for God to bless you? And do you need to give for God's blessing, financial blessings to come upon your life? Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, I'm going to read this. Now, please, if you're joining us now, let me give you the backdrop of this 2 Corinthians chapter 8. The backdrop is the Apostle Paul, by the Holy Spirit, is actually speaking to the Corinthian brethren. And the reason he's speaking to them is trying to make sure that they give. He's telling them about giving. So he's come to them with the notion of encouraging them to give. So please watch out the approach, the apostolic approach to this issue that the Apostle Paul actually gave. Now, 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, see what it says. It said, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus. Now, listen to that. It means then the Apostle Paul is putting his reputation on the line by simply saying, I'm assuming you Corinthian brethren, I'm going to talk to you about giving. Because if you take your time out to read all of chapter 8 of 2 Corinthians, it was all about giving. But the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9, he said, I'm making an assumption that you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. So let's say this. If you're going to talk about giving at all, if you're going to listen to the topic of giving, Giving must only be spoken on the basis that the people who are listening to what you have to say about giving already know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. So nobody has any business talking about the topic of giving in the church unless the people who are listening to what you have to say know the grace of our Lord Jesus. So here is 2 Corinthians chapter 8, a chapter in the Bible that is all about giving. But listen, the Apostle Paul is saying, well, the foundation of my speech, the foundation of my talk on giving is that I'm believing that the Corinthian brethren know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now see what it says in verse 9. It says, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus, that though he was rich. Now listen, it says, though he was rich, yet for your sakes. Now it said, because of you Corinthians, he became poor. Now it says, for your sake he became poor, so that you, through his poverty, might become rich. Who starts a teaching on giving to people, and when you already tell them, they're already rich? Now listen. Now this is quite amazing, because you see, don't forget that when people teach on giving, majorly today, the popular tradition in church today is to tell people that, do you want to be rich? Do you want to be blessed? You need to give. But the Apostle Paul is speaking by the Holy Ghost, that you Corinthian brethren, I'm assuming that you know the grace of our Lord Jesus, that you're already rich. He says that through the poverty of Jesus. Now let's talk about this poverty of Jesus. And I think we need to lay this foundation before we go further on this particular topic of giving. That giving must only be talked about on the basis that the hearers about giving know the grace of our Lord Jesus. That's the first thing we've established. Now the question is, what grace is it? Because grace looks like a very big terminology. What grace is it? Now it tells us what the grace is. Now it tells us what that grace of our Lord Jesus is. It doesn't leave us in the dark what the grace of our Lord Jesus is. He said, what's the grace? This is the grace. The grace is that he was rich. Now, when he says Jesus was rich, now, I think you understand the fact that before the Word of God became flesh, before Jesus became the Son of Man, the Bible says he was the everlasting Word. It means he had everything. He was the one that made all, he created all things for his own pleasure. He was the same person that spoke in Haggai when he said, silver and gold is mine. The same person who said, silver and gold is mine, became flesh. And now he's the same person saying, the Son of Man has no place to lay his head. The person who said, silver and gold is mine. The same person who said, I own the cattle upon 1,000 hills. He became flesh. And that same person is the one that is asking the disciples to look for 5 bread and 2 fish to feed people. Now the same person who owns everything, the same person who made everything, is the one that stripped himself of his glory and came back to earth in human form in the flesh. The Bible said he left all his riches, all what makes him God. The Word became flesh. Now listen, Christ had everything. He had everything as the Word of the living God. But the Bible says, even though he was rich, even though he had everything as God, yet for your sake, because of you, he became poor. It means he deprived himself of everything. Philippians 2 tells us about this. Philippians 2 says, even though he was God, he did not count it robbery to be equal with God. He made himself of no reputation. You see, one thing that comes to mind, think about the soldier who actually, when Jesus was on the cross, the one that told Jesus that prophesy and all those things, who actually, you know, put the spear on the side of Jesus. Think about it. Jesus made or created that man. The Bible says that by him, all things were created. Talking about Christ in the word form. If all things were created by Christ and the same people that he created were the same people saying crucify him, the Bible says he made himself of no reputation. Why did he do all this? The question is, why did Christ do all this? The Bible says he did it because he had a reason to transfer the benefit of that to us. Because he said, for your sake, he became poor so that you, through his poverty. Now, watch that. You through his poverty. Now, you see, what comes to mind, and if you've been with us on this series over the past few weeks, we've been talking about the Prodigal Father series. And you see, the story comes to mind about the elder brother. You know, in Luke chapter 15, that story, that parable of Jesus about the father who had 2 sons. Now, you see, this story gives us an illustration of the 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. I'll tell you why. Now, the reason is, think about the fact that the father divided the inheritance between the younger son and the elder son. Now, the question is, as soon as the father divided inheritance and the younger son wasted all his inheritance, and by the time the younger son came back home, the Bible tells us that the father killed the calf for the younger son. Now, the question, the father's calf, the question that arises for anybody who's thinking critically is, if the father killed the calf, the father's calf for the younger son, when he came back home to celebrate him, and if the father put the robe on the younger son when he came back when they were celebrating, the question is, whose robe did the father put on the younger son? Whose calf did the father kill? I can submit to you by the word that because the Bible didn't say that the father divided the inheritance to three, the Bible didn't say that, it said the father divided inheritance into two. So we can safely conclude then that by the time the younger son got back home in Luke 15, it was the resources that should have belonged to the elder brother that was being used up for the younger son. It means then, whatever was given to the younger son was at the expense of the elder brother. I'll say that again. Whatever the younger son was given, whatever robe that came upon him, whatever benefit of the calf that was killed for the younger son in Luke 15, it definitely has to be what belonged to the elder brother. Now, these are illustrations to us as Christians. That Bible called Jesus, our Bible says we are joint heirs with Christ. It means, in fact, Hebrews chapter 2 talks about Christ. He said, seeing, Hebrews 2:14, that his brethren were made of flesh and blood, he took part of the same, so that through his death he might destroy him who has the power of death. The Bible calls Jesus our brethren, our brother. It means then, the reason why we have all the benefit we have today in Christ is because it was at the expense of Christ, our elder brother. Bible says we are joint heirs with him. He is our elder brother. We are joint heirs with Christ. Everything we can lay hold of today in the kingdom, it was there at the expense of Christ. Somebody paid for it. People talk about the fact that salvation is free. Oh yeah, it is free for you receiving, but it was at the expense of the Son of God. The Bible says Jesus had to give everything up. He emptied himself. He became poor. That's the word, literally. He became poor so that we, through his poverty, so that at his own expense, at the expense of Christ, we might become rich. Now, the question you want to ask is, who teaches grace starting from this foundation? Who teaches giving, starting on this foundation of grace? So what the Apostle Paul is saying to the Corinthian brethren is this. I'm going to talk to you about giving. But before we start talking about giving, I need to know, or I want to be convinced that you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, it means that no minister of God, no pastor, no whoever he is, should not really be teaching people about the whole notion of giving unless it's on the backdrop or the foundation of that these people truly understand the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I'll tell you why it has to be taught on that foundation. This is the reason. The reason is, if giving is not taught on the foundation that people already know the grace of our Lord Jesus, it means there's a different platform, there's a different foundation in which people can understand giving. And that's the problem. I'll say that again. If giving is not actually taught to people on the foundation that they know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, people will interpret giving on a different basis. And the fact is, if it's not on the basis of grace, or which other basis do we have for giving? It's the basis of the law. So what we have said now, the foundation we have laid is, it doesn't make any sense to start talking about giving unless it is being talked about on the foundation of grace. It means the people that you are talking to about giving must know that because of the poverty of Christ, because Christ gave up everything, that they have everything. So it means then, there is no way this Apostle Paul then can begin to convince the brethren that the reason I'm talking to you about giving so that you can become rich. Can you see? He said you are already loaded on the basis of the fact that Christ became your exchange. It means whatever poverty belongs to you was given to Christ, and whatever richness that Christ had was given to you. So that's the basis. That's the foundation of talking about giving. Now, the question is, if giving is not being understood on that foundation, which other foundation can giving be interpreted? Now, if there was no other foundation through which giving can be understood, the Apostle Paul will not say, for you know the grace of our Lord Jesus. There's a different foundation to understand giving. There's a different way to understand giving. And you see, the reason why this is important is there's no truth in the kingdom that cannot be understood from the perspective of grace and the perspective of the law. Every single truth in the kingdom, including giving, can be understood from both perspectives. Now, let's see, which other perspective can we use to understand giving before we come back to the 2 Corinthians chapter 8? Because there's a lot of things to explore in the 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. Now, let's go to Malachi chapter 3. Now,
that's a popular passage.
That's a popular one. Like we said again, please, viewers, don't forget that the Apostle Paul made an assumption. I call it a very costly assumption. that the Corinthian brethren understood the grace of our Lord Jesus before he began to talk to them about giving. Now, it means there's a different perspective in which we can understand giving apart from the grace of our Lord Jesus. And see, let me say this before we go to Malachi chapter 3. Every time you hear giving being talked about in church, anytime people talk about offering and tithe in the church, you need to discern. Are they talking in the perspective that they know the grace of our Lord Jesus? Or is the person talking from the perspective of not knowing the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ? That's the point. You have to figure out which one are they talking about. Is it from the grace perspective or from the non-grace perspective? And before we go to Malachi 3 again, and I think I need to stress one fact. It seems to me that there are some ministers, there are some people who don't even understand what the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ is. And there are some who actually do know what that grace is, but they would rather pretend and hide it, because you can't talk to people that they already made rich in Christ Jesus and then try to merchandise them. It's not going to happen, because they know they're rich because of the poverty of Jesus. So that's it. Now let's go to Malachi chapter 3 and see the other perspective in which giving can be understood. Now look at Malachi 3, which is quite a very popular verse of the scripture. Now you see, I'll read from verse 7. What does it say? It says, "Even from the days of your fathers you've gone away from my ordinances and have not kept them. Return unto me and I'll return unto you." Now don't forget, here comes a God who is reactive. Can you see that? A God that says, if you do come back to me, I'll come back to you. If you move away from me, I'll move away from you. Now, begin to understand how this God in Malachi 3:7 is talking. Now, see what it says. And it says, "Return unto me, and I'll return unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. But ye said, wherein shall we return?" And verse 8 says, "Will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me." That's what it says. "But you say, wherein have we robbed you? And it says, in tithe and offering." So, I mean, I think in the church today, those are the two ways in which giving is being actually talked about, either in terms of tithe or in terms of offering. Now, he says, "You've robbed me in tithe and offering." And look at verse 9, please. This is where we're going to. It says, "You are cursed with a curse." Now, that's it. Now, it says, "You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even the whole nation." So here's God simply saying, because you've not given your tithe and offering, because you've not given me what I deserve, you are cursed. Now, please, viewers, I wanted to contrast this Malachi 3 verse 8 to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 9. Now, see the different perspective in which giving has been talked about. Now, 2 Corinthians 8 9 was going to tell people that, you see, already Paul said to the Corinthian brethren under the new covenant, he told them that because of the poverty of Christ, you're already made rich. Now, listen, they've not even given yet. They've not even started to give. Now, this is very important. Please.
That's very enlightening.
They've not even begun to give in 2 Corinthians 8, 9. Paul says, well,
you're already rich.
I believe all of you I'm going to talk to about giving today. You know already the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And I think in some churches, we shouldn't even start talking about giving unless the people we are talking to know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, unless they know, we have no business talking about giving. Because if people don't know the grace of our Lord Jesus and you talk to them about giving, what's going to happen is those people will switch over from 2 Corinthians 8. They will come all the way to Malachi 3. That's what's going to happen to them. They're going to make a backward journey from the new covenant all the way back to the old covenant. Now, if you don't want people to make a backward journey from 2 Corinthians 8, 9 to Malachi 3, 8, you need to talk to them on giving on the basis that they understand the grace of our Lord Jesus. Now, here comes Malachi 3, verse 8. It says, you are cursed. Verse 9. You are cursed with a curse. Now, the reason why it says you are cursed with a curse is because, again, this God is reactive. Mm-hmm. Now, the God of the old covenant. Now, you're wondering, why am I saying the God of the old covenant? Are there two gods? Now, there's only one God. The Bible says there's only one God, one Father overall. There are no two gods. But the reason why I use the word the God of the old covenant is to tell you of the fact that the way God dealt with men under the old covenant is radically different with the way God deals with us under the new covenant. And I think most Christians, the inability of Christians to make a separation between the two covenants is the reason why there's so much confusion in the body of Christ when it comes to the issue of giving, which is what we're talking about on the knockout today. Don't forget our question on this knockout. Do you need to give in order for God to favor you or bless you? Do you need to give in order to reap bountifully the blessings of God in your life? That's the question we're asking. Don't forget that. Now, this Malachi chapter 3, verse 9 simply says, these people, if they don't give, if they don't give their tithe and offering, they are cursed. Now, again, I'm going to really slow down so people can get this. I believe you can compare and contrast between this Malachi 3:9 and 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 9. Look at the difference. In 2 Corinthians 8 verse 9, under the new covenant, it tells them, because of the poverty of Christ, you are made rich. Okay, now before it began to talk about giving. But in Malachi 3:9, it's simply saying, because you didn't give your tithe and offering, you are not rich, you are cursed. There's incapacity in your life because you didn't do what you should do. Now, even by simple reasoning, by simple thinking, it shows to you these are two radically different approaches to giving. Now, the big question is, which approach are you being exposed to? Mm-hmm. Which approach are you using to approach the old notion of giving? Is it the approach of 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 9 or the approach of Malachi 3:9? Now, let's go on in Malachi 3:9. He said you are cursed with a curse. Now, and I think before we go on with this being cursed with a curse, because we're still going to go to some verses of the scriptures today. We're going to go to Galatians 3:13 very soon, where the Bible says Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law. But before we do that, let's see what this has to say. This Malachi 3:9. It said, you are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, nay, even this old nation. Now, next verse says, verse 10, look at it. It said, bring you all the tithe into the storehouse. So God is simply saying in this place under the old covenant, God is simply saying, you know what? If you don't give, you are cursed. To be blessed, you give. To be made rich, you give. Now that's the old system. That's the old covenant. Now see what it says. It says in verse 10, bring ye all the tithe into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house, and prove me now therewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I would not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing. Now, and there shall not be enough room to receive it. Now, you know, one of the reasons why people give today in church, and that's what people talk about on the pulpit. They tell, well, I think there are two ways, there are two reasons or two motivations that they give in church for giving. Now, that this one tells us the first motivation. Now, we're going to look at these two motivations under the new covenant. The Bible says we are able ministers of the new covenant, not after the oldness of the letter. Now, we are able ministers of the new covenant. Now, this is the Old Testament. This is the old covenant. Now, how did I know that? Because Hebrews chapter 9 tells us that the covenant does not go into effect until the death of the testator. Until Jesus Christ died and shed his blood, the new covenant was not in place. So we know this was the old covenant. Now listen, the first reason it gives in this old covenant, the guarantee of God's blessing in this old covenant, simply says, if you give, I will open up the windows of what? Heaven, I'll bless you. And see, that's what people have turned giving to, primarily as a means of investment. It means, for example, God says, if you give, and that's why people use this Malachi 3, verse 9, as the basis for saying, if you give, then God says it will open up the windows of heaven. It means you can invest. I mean, you can invest. So if you invest into God, then you can get a lot of return. Now, that's one reason people give. Look at the second reason. Verse 11 says, and I will rebuke the devourers for your sake. That's the second reason. That's insurance. You see? So in verse 10, people give as a means of investment. And in verse 11, people give as a means of what? Insurance. God says, you know what? I'm going to rebuke divorce for your sake.
And I cannot destroy.
That's all insurance. So verse 10, investment. And verse 11, insurance. But you see, what do we notice in Malachi chapter 3, verse 9 to 11? It is that God says, unless you give, I would not return your investment. Unless you give, I would not insure, I will not protect, I will not guide you against divorce unless you give. Yeah. Now, so even at the surface, fundamentally today, we've seen a big gap, a big difference between how God related with men under the old covenant as regarding giving and how God related to men under the new covenant as regarding giving. Now, first thing that comes to mind, which is what we need to actually look into, that actually becomes a red pointer in this Malachi chapter 3, verse 9, is where he says you are cursed with a curse, which is, you know, because some people say, you know what, if you don't pay your tithe, you are cursed. Things will be tight for you if you don't pay your tithe. And when you ask them what's the basis for them saying such a thing, they can easily go back and refer you all the way to Malachi chapter 3 verse what? Now, it's amazing that such ministers don't refer you to 2 Corinthians chapter 8 verse 9. And I'm wondering why. I mean, why would a minister refer you to Malachi 3:9 and not refer you to 2 Corinthians 8:9? Because 2 Corinthians 8:9 says, because of the poverty of Jesus, when he gave everything up, for that reason you are made rich. And now the fact is, if ministers want to go all the way back to Malachi 3:9 as the basis to tell you that if you don't pay your tithe, things will be tight for you. If you don't give your offering, you are cursed with a curse. Let's see what Galatians 3:13 has to say about this. Now, again, just follow us through.
So that means Galatians 3:13 has so that is your defense mechanism for any minister bullying you with Malachi 3:9.
Okay.
Telling you that you have a defense statement here.
A defense mechanism.
Yes.
If you please.
Might need to just show them and quote back Galatians 3:13 to anyone quoting Malachi 3:9 to you.
Now see what Galatians 3:13 has to say. Now, please, we're going to read it slowly so that our listeners can listen to this. Is it really true that you need to give in order for God to bless you? And that if you don't give, things will be tight for you? Is it really true? Is that what the Word of God says? In the light of the New Covenant in the blood of Jesus. Look, Galatians 3:13. It says, Christ hath, that's the word. Now, the word hath means it's done. It's a past tense. It's a done deal. Christ hath redeemed us. Now, if you have your Bible with you, Galatians 3:13 used the word redeemed. It's a past tense. It's not we will be redeemed. It didn't say, well, if you give well enough, if you try as much as you can be redeemed from the curse. In fact, some people have come to a point in the church, if they're about to give an offering, they will speak to the money and begin to, you know, like the herbalists would do, as if they're actually doing incantation. They're speaking to the money so that it can take away every curse. They will say, well, this is the beginning of the year. If you want to take away bad fortune from you, give an offering and speak to that offering so every bad fortune will go away from you this year. People, you know, trying to make sure they do something so they can be redeemed from the curse of the law. When Galatians 3:13 uses the word in the past tense and say, Christ, you are too late with your money.
We
are too late. You are too late with your offering. You are too late with your tithe. So try to use your tithe to make sure you break bad fortune in 2017. You are too late because the Bible says Christ already went ahead of you and did it. Christ went ahead and did it. He had pastors redeemed. Past tense. So Christ got there before you. Before you thought of you speaking to your money like an herbalist. In fact, I think it's so sad that some churches have turned some brethren to herbalists. And you see, speaking to money so that you can redeem yourself from every curse in the family. Some people say, you know what? You know, you have prayed deliverance prayers. It's high time for you to give God something that will redeem you for this year. All those things are men trying to merchandise you. They are blocking you to the reality of your redemption in Christ Jesus. I repeat, 2 Corinthians 8:9 says, before you ever think of giving, it said through his poverty, you are made rich before you even think about giving in the first place. Now, you read the word. And don't forget, if you are just joining us today on Knockout Series 5, listen, we have said it. For Christians who are lazy, for Christians who are not laboring in the word, you are what? You are a simple, in fact, you are a straightforward victim for merchandising. In fact, you are an easy target for merchandising of men who want to make money out of you. Now listen, the reality says Christ hath redeemed you from the curse of the law. We've never talked about giving in Galatians 3:13. He said he did it already. He redeemed you from the curse of the law. Don't forget. This Malachi chapter 3, you want to say something?
Yes, now the curse of the law. What are the law? It covers every curse.
The point.
Yeah.
Every single curse of the law. Don't forget, what we read before, this is why we came here now, from Malachi 3:9, told us about the fact that because you refuse to give your tithe and offering, it said you are cursed with a curse. Now, that's the curse of the law. And you have to agree with what we just said today, that before Christ ever came, before Christ came onto the scene, before Christ was born, the law was in effect. In fact, John chapter 1 tells us that the law was given unto Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. So until Jesus Christ came, grace did not show up in the neighborhood. So it means as time Malachi was written, it was written for men under the law. And when it says you are cursed with a curse, Galatians 3:13 tells us that Christ hath redeemed us, past tense, from the curse of the law. How did he do it? Now, he said, by being made a curse for us. Now, again, we see that notion coming up again, in which we're simply saying that everything we have today is at the expense of Christ. Now, that's the point. I repeat, and that's the reason why people talk about the fact that people who talk about the grace of God, they are cheapening the justice of God. No, grace doesn't cheapen God's justice. What grace simply says is the demand of God is so high, The righteousness of God is so high that it only took God to satisfy God. And that Jesus paid the price. Jesus became the propitiation. Jesus became the one who was poor. That Jesus became the one who was cursed. With grace doesn't cheapen God. Grace elevates the standard of God. We simply say those people who choose to live by the law are the one cheapening God in reality. So he tells us now that Christ became a curse for us. That's why Christ became a curse already. How did that happen? Because cursed is written, that's in Deuteronomy, that cursed is everyone that is hung on the tree. So Jesus was hung on the cross, and the Bible says if you look at Christ on the cross, you are looking at somebody who became a curse. Now let me tell you this. If you ever think that as a Christian, as somebody who is born of God, if you ever think that you can be under a curse, what you are simply saying to God is you don't believe Christ was made a curse for you. Now, listen to this.
You are ridiculing the sacrifice.
This is an exchange. The whole thing about being born of the Spirit, the whole thing about the new birth in Christ Jesus is about exchange. It's either Christ was made a curse for you and you are no more cursed, or you are cursed and Christ was not made a curse for you. There are no two ways about it. It's either this or that. There is no middle ground. I'll repeat. The Bible says the reason you can be guaranteed that you have been redeemed from the curse of the law is that do you believe? Do you accept the reality that Christ was made a curse? If you accept the reality that Christ was made a curse, you cannot be under a curse. Now, you can be under a curse if you don't accept the reality that Christ was made a curse. What the Bible is simply trying to say is there is no middle ground. If you believe he was made a curse, you cannot be under a curse. Now, what this does eventually, it nullifies Malachi 3:9-11. It cancels it. That's what it means. It cancels Malachi 3:9-11. And that's what this has done to us.
Yes, we can see broadly, clearly from this scripture, Galatians 3:13,
yeah,
and 2 Corinthians 8:19, that the burden and the responsibility of our wealth is borne by Christ. So you see that through his poverty, we have been made rich in 2 Corinthians 8:9. And then we see in this Galatians 3:13, you know, he has been made a curse. So somebody bears the responsibility.
Amen.
So the burden for your wealth is already borne by someone. So choosing not to accept is just like ridiculing that sacrifice. It's just like, I don't know, it's a content of courts, of justice, of God's justice system for you to reject. You know, that was done. Somebody has already paid for it, the burden and the way. So you should not be, nobody should make you feel body, you know, in service, in place of worship. You carry the responsibility of your blessing on yourself. No, somebody has done that clearly. In 2 Corinthians 8:9, he became poor that you be rich. 2 Corinthians, he has borne all the curses, all the curses of the law. Every curse that you have ever found from all the Genesis to Malachi, he has borne it. And so you have been free.
Amen.
Free from this responsibility.
Now, viewers all over the world, we wanted to do one thing for sure. We started this teaching today on the basis that there are two ways you can approach giving.
Yeah.
Every teaching on giving can be approached from two dimensions. Now, the Apostle Paul told the Corinthian church again, he said, I'm going to talk to you about giving in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, all through chapter 8 of 2 Corinthians. But he says, I'm making the assumption that you know the grace
of God,
of our Lord Jesus. Nobody has the right to listen to giving as a topic unless they know
the grace
of our Lord Jesus Christ. If they don't know the grace of our Lord Jesus, when you teach them about giving, they will slide all the way downwards from 2 Corinthians 8, they will slide all the way to Malachi 3. So you don't teach people about giving unless they know the grace of our Lord Jesus. So I think in some places and in some situations, we need to even suspend talking about giving unless the people we are talking to, they know the grace of our Lord Jesus. Now, back to Galatians 3 verse 13. What it tells us is this. It says, Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us, for it is written, curses everyone that is hung on a tree, so that the blessings, now look at that.
Yes.
The blessings of Abraham, can you see that, might come to us Gentiles, and we might receive the promise of the Spirit by faith. Now, what that means is, it says, there are no two ways about it. There is no middle ground about it. It's simply saying, if you believe that Christ has redeemed you from the curse of the law on the basis that Christ became a curse, then you can also believe that there's blessing upon your life.
Nice.
That's what it's saying. You can believe there's blessing. Now, please, listen. I want you, if you have your Bible with you, please check Galatians 3:13. Did you see anything about giving in that place?
No.
Did you see anything about the offering plate in Galatians 3:13-15? Galatians 3, verse 13, verse 14. There is nothing about giving. There is nothing about tithe. There's nothing about the offering plate, and it's simply guaranteeing and simply saying that
the blessing.
As long as Christ was made a curse for us, you can be guaranteed that the blessing of Abraham is upon your life.
Mm.
Now, there is nothing about giving in this verse. Yeah. There is nothing about tithe or offering in this verse. And again, we say, I repeat, we can say this as many times today so that people can understand that you don't teach people about giving unless they understand the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. So, now the fact is, don't forget the focus of Malachi 3. Malachi 3, verse 9 to 11, God gave them two assurances. The first assurance was the fact that God says, I can make you get returns on investment if you give. Now, under the law, I suppose. And the second thing was, I can insure you. There's insurance because it says, the divorce will not come into your household. There can be insurance. Now, what happens is, Galatians 3:13 tells us that the blessings
of
Abraham can come to us by faith, not by through the oppressions of the law. Now, the thing we want to actually explore further on today is this. Is it very possible? Because we believe, we're talking to people who actually believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. I mean, if you're a Christian, you're listening to us. That's very great. And I must say, if you're here and you're listening to what we are saying, it means you want to know what the truth is. Because the Bible says you will know the truth, and the truth you know will make you free. Now, we said this before in previous episodes, that John chapter 8, you know, where Jesus spoke that in verse 31, verse 32, Jesus said to the Jews that believed in him. See, Jesus spoke that to those that believe. He didn't say that to people who don't believe. He said, if you continue in my word. Can you see that? So it's one thing to believe in the name of Jesus. It's a whole different thing to continue in the word of Christ. He said, if you continue in my word, then you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Now, what that means is, it's very possible for people to believe in Jesus Christ, to believe in the grace of God. In fact, I rarely meet Christians who don't believe in the grace of God.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is the irony. Most everyone believes and says, you know what, I believe Jesus is my life. I believe Jesus Christ is Lord. I believe I've given my life to Jesus. It's very rare that you meet Christians who say, by my own morality, I saved myself. No, people rarely say that. It's very, very uncommon for people to say that. But the reality is, people confess Jesus as Lord. They believe Jesus saved them. But in reality, functionally, the way they live their lives, how they think about giving, shows that people are trying to establish themselves all over again by the law. Now, simple. Now, the fact is, how does this affect you as a Christian? In which, if you believe one thing and you walk a different way, the Bible says, if we have our life by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. In fact, it says, in I think in the epistles, it said, as you have received Christ Jesus, the Lord, in Colossians, so also walk in him. Now, let's look at what this has to do. Let's go to Galatians again. We're going back to the book of Galatians.
Okay.
Bless the Lord that we were blessed and made rich because of the poverty of Jesus. And it's got nothing to do with the offering plate. Now, don't forget. Now, please, cut us some slack. Give us some bit of a time. Because you need to stick to us on this series.
Yeah.
Because we're still going to explore, why did then the Apostle Paul tell them to give? If they are blessed. If because of the poverty of Christ they were made rich, why tell them to give? Now, stay with us. Give us some time. We're going to explore this further on. And you see, let me say this before we go back to Galatians. Now, no minister of God has the right, or nobody has the right or the reason to say they have a good reason to motivate people by teaching them giving from the perspective of the law. You cannot teach people giving just because you want to motivate them correctly. Motivation is not the thing about when it comes to giving. People need to know the grace of our Lord Jesus, and you need to trust that the grace of God will teach them. The Bible says in Titus 2:11, it said, the grace of God has appeared to all men, teaching us. The grace of God is a teacher by itself. Now, let's go to Galatians chapter 2. I'm going to read something which is very, very important. Verse 21. Now, is it very possible for Christians who believe in the Lord Jesus, but yet handle the giving and tithe and offering and all these things in church, they undo it according to the precepts of the law? Let's see what's going to happen. Now, see what Galatians chapter 2, verse 21 says. I'll read this slowly. It says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness comes by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Now, I'll say that again. It said, I do not frustrate the grace of God. Now, if you have some other translations with you, what it simply says, it says, I do not set aside the grace of God. It means then, it means, even though the Apostle Paul talked about giving, in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. He says, you know the grace of our Lord Jesus. The reason he was telling the Corinthian church that before I start talking about giving, I want to be sure that you know the grace of our Lord Jesus is because Christians can set aside the grace of God when it comes to different aspects of their life. I repeat, it is possible to set aside, to frustrate the grace of God. Now, you see, this Galatians 2:21, when it talks about frustration, it talks about frustration in the context of this. He said, for example, if something can do something in your life, if somebody can do something and you're not allowing them to do what they can do, it can cause frustration.
Yeah.
Now, the Apostle Paul is simply saying to the Galatian brethren in Galatians 2:21, Paul said, for me, in my own case, I refuse to frustrate the grace of God. I refuse to set aside the grace of God. I would allow the grace of God to do only what the grace of God can do in my life. I will not look to the law to achieve what grace can do. For example, if somebody tells you that give your first fruit, your dark fruit, so that God can bless you, what the person is trying to tell you is achieve through the law what Christ's poverty accomplished by grace. I repeat, if somebody tells you that you need to give in order to be blessed, when the Bible simply says that because of the curse that Christ took upon himself, that's why we are receiving Abraham's blessing.
Mm-hmm.
When the Bible says because of Christ's poverty, that's why we are rich. And somebody then tells you, no. You need to give so that you can receive that blessing. What you are simply doing in your life is you are setting aside the grace of God. You are frustrating the grace of God. You are telling the grace of God, don't worry, you can sit down in one corner. I will try to achieve by different means what grace of God has achieved through Christ Jesus. So that's what we must not do. Now, we have a lot of lessons to learn in Galatians. He said, I do not frustrate the grace. I do not set aside the grace. And you, if you're listening to us today, you have to come to that conclusion in your life. You have to come to that conclusion in your Christian work. You have to come to that conclusion in your relationship with the Father. To simply say you refuse to set aside the grace of God. You must always look to the grace of God to do only what grace is designed to do in your life.
Well, we can see from this in that Galatians 2 chapter 21 that we're saying, I do not. So it's a personal responsibility.
Personal decision.
Now, so you might be in a gathering and somebody might choose, the minister or whatsoever, might choose to set aside the grace of God. But you know, the responsibility is on you.
That you said, I refuse.
I will not. So they might say some words, they might bring up things, whip up testimonies. Somebody gave this and this happened. Anything experience can be
just say, I refuse to frustrate.
The personal responsibility is not on the man on the pulpit, it's on you.
That so you refuse
you
to set aside the grace of God.
You will not hold that grace of God in contempt. You know, the sacrifice, you are not just going to, that is the blood that saves you. So at that point in time, at every point in your life, you must be on guard. And you will not set aside. You make that personal responsibility. And we know we said it in the beginning of this knockout series, Colossians 2, that we should take it. We should be smarter. Let nobody spoil you and rob you of it. So you must be on the guard at every time. They are quoting this Malachi 3 and all the odds of scriptures like that. You must be on guard. That the responsibility is on me not to set aside, you know, not to set aside, it's not to hold the sacrifice of Christ in contempt, no matter what people say. So don't be carried away by testimony. Don't be carried, any testimony is inferior to the sacrifice of Christ, no matter how good, how head swelling it is. It is inferior. We say Christ, to the word of the Lord is superior. So no matter what people are saying, their experience, the anointing, the mantle on them, the oil on them, it is still inferior to the sacrifice of Christ. So we will not allow anyone. We will not allow anyone to make us set aside. And so this responsibility, we cannot blame anyone. You cannot blame any man in suit that is the one that made this. It is your responsibility. I hope you are getting that through this episode.
Now, the question I want to ask the viewers today is, what does it take for you to set aside the grace of God?
Yeah.
What can somebody do? What can somebody say? Which kind of gathering can you go to? Or which kind of situation can you be in that is well enough for you to set aside the grace of God? For you to simply say you want to achieve, by any other means, what only grace was designed to do. Now, you see, there's something that you were talking about, which is very important. If you are a Bible scholar, if you get the backdrop of Galatians, you would understand why Paul said, I do not frustrate the grace of God. The reason why Paul used the word I do not in Galatians 2:21 is because he was talking to a people, the Galatian brethren, the one he spoke to in chapter 3, and says, oh, foolish Galatians, who has bewitched you? He said, before your very eyes, Christ was set forth. Christ was crucified in your very eyes. And you understand what the implication of the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ is. And Paul told them, you know what they were trying to do? You know what the Galatians were trying to do? The Galatians were trying to achieve the very same thing that Christ paid the price for. Now, if you look at it, now look at chapter 3. He said, oh, foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? That you should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus was evidently set forth, crucified among you. He said, you guys knew about the fact that he was crucified. He became a curse for you. He said, don't you know that? Is it not obvious? Now see what he said next. He said, this only would I learn. Did you receive the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit? Are you now trying to be made perfect in the flesh? Can you see that? He's simply saying, so are you simply saying that you don't even understand the gravity of redemption? Now see what it says in that verse 21, what you were talking about. He says, I do not frustrate
chapter, but so it's a continuation.
He said, I do not set aside the grace of God, for if righteousness comes by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Oh, it means to some people, to some Christians, the death of Christ can be in vain. Now I repeat, don't forget that the book of Galatians was written to the Galatian Christian. It wasn't written to the Galatian unbelievers. Paul was talking to people who were already saved. Paul said, listen, if I don't allow the grace of God to do what it can do in me, he said, what will happen is I will set aside the grace and then the death of Christ will mean nothing. It means it's in vain. He said, then Christ died in vain. Now, this is a very, very serious statement. This is a very serious word. Now, what the Apostle Paul is simply saying is, if you approach the notion of giving, if you approach giving without understanding the grace of God, what will happen is, to you, the death of Christ is pointless. And that's why in the church today, you see people talking about many things. You see Christians approaching so many activities in the church. And you ask yourself a question, what is the reason for the death and the resurrection of Jesus? Why did Jesus have to die? If somebody tells you that, see, if you want your 2017 to be greater than 2016, you need to make sure that you redeem this by what? By giving this lump sum and that sum, you need to make sure you break the curse of your father's house, or you break the curse of your mother's house, or you break the curse of your generation. In fact, some would say, if you want to break the curse of your generation, just come with an amount that is a sacrifice to you, and you see that the curse over your generation will be broken. And the question you are asking is simply this: then what's the point of the death of Christ? Because the Bible says here that if I set aside the grace of God, then Christ is dead in vain.
So, and that is what you're saying. In those gatherings, we have seen that there is a substitution of the death, the sacrifice of Christ, with all this anointing oil.
It's made to be vain. It's pretty useless. It's as good as Christ didn't die. That's what Paul said.
They have elevated some other things because there is no vacuum like that.
There's no vacuum in the spirit.
Yes. So because they are not going to put forth into your face the sacrifice of Christ, because they are not talking about it. The sacrifice of Christ and the grace message, they are not talking about it, for we know the grace of God.
Before you talk about giving, you must first talk about, you know, the grace before you talk about giving.
And so that's why they will have to come up with their home. They have to come with traditions. They have to come with oil. They have to come something to you. To buy into, so they don't want you to buy into the sacrifice of Christ that he has done this. Then they come out with all of these things, so in replacement.
So now it then means then the what we have talked about then is simply this: in the realm of the spirit, there's no vacuum. If you set aside the grace of God, the death of Christ is useless to you, and you will be trying to achieve by your own means, by people merchandising you. You try to achieve the very thing that Christ's redemption paid for. And that's what we've established today. So when it comes to giving, the foundation of giving is this: we don't give so that God can bless us. It was the curse that Christ took upon himself that brought us blessing. We don't give so that we can become rich. The Bible simply says that through his poverty, through Christ's poverty, you were made rich. So it means then, the foundation of understanding what giving is must come from the understanding that you have of the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what we've established today. Now, I would say, viewers, you need to stick to us on this particular knockout series. The reason we're saying that is, we're still going to talk about giving. But what we've established today is that your blessings, that your favor, that your richness is completely dependent on the sacrifice of Jesus. We see that in Galatians 3:13. We see that in 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 9. And we establish one thing again, that if you refuse to walk by the grace of our Lord Jesus when it comes to giving, if you set aside the grace of God, to you, the debt of Christ is in vain. Galatians 2, verse 21. And those are the things we've established today.
I know with this episode on this knockout series on giving, sowing, and the likes, I know we are stepping on toes, and no matter how it is, we will not be told what is profitable for you. And you know, those people that benefited and are still benefiting from the holder, that some of them will not like it to listen to this. But you just have to pay attention, because what we are saying, we are not saying the words of our own. You know, we show you through the pages of the scripture, just like Jesus was showing to them what was written of him. So we are showing what was being done for you. What has, you know, it has, you are redeemed, you are this in Galatians 3, verse 13, and in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 9. So you would do well to stay put with this episode, because we just started scratching the surface.
Yeah, we've never talked about giving, as it were. We've just started with on what foundation was giving be talked about. We've never talked about giving.
So it would be criminally wrong and very mischievous of anyone to just run off with this, because we've not touched every aspect of this giving. And I'm suspecting that some of the questions that our viewers might have on this episode will be answered in some of the next
questions
episodes.
Like that, why do we give them?
in those places. So we do hope that those ones. But if you are taking anything with you, I just want to remind that what me I'm taking personally from this is the opening scripture in that 2 Corinthians verse 8, verse 9. I say, for you know the grace of God. You know, it came very in a different light to me. I've never looked at that before.
For you know the grace.
And I just want to encourage you to look back and think back on this, that you know the grace. That means he's saying some places of gathering, some places of worship, they don't have the jurisprudence and what they call in criminal law to even talk about giving. You know,
they don't have
the legal right
to talk about giving.
Yes, to talk about any giving, to raise any offering in any form at all.
Unless
if they are anti grace, if they don't know about grace, if they don't
talk about giving,
so they don't have the right. So if you see anybody that wants to be talking about
do you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ? Do you know it?
So yeah, you just have to hold them criminally. You are doing something illegal here.
Because
you can't talk about it. You can't do anything about giving at all. If you are really anti-grace, if you don't know the grace of God, if you don't promote the grace of God, because
don't even talk about giving.
You don't have the right. So you don't have the right to talk about it. You don't have the right to receive any offering at all, in any way, in any form.
Unless you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Unless you know the grace of our Lord. So you begin to challenge.
2 Corinthians 8, 9.
Challenge any system, challenge any person that is trying to talk about offering, that wants to talk about giving without establishing and promoting the grace of God. It is criminally wrong. As you can see in 2 Corinthians 8, they don't have the right, they don't have the jurisprudence
to talk about it
at all. And so we let you again that our personal responsibility to not set aside. So we'll be in situations, we'll be in gatherings where people might just choose to promote something else apart from the grace of God, the sacrifices of God. But you know, it's your own personal, I will not set aside
the grace of God. I refuse to do that.
So we allow you to chew on this. So tomorrow, 9 a.m. UK time, we'll continue on this episode about our knockout series on giving. We do hope that you will join us again to stretch forth the boundaries of this giving and get to every aspect, and don't get to naughty areas and those questions you have. We are welcoming your questions and comments, and we will encourage you to share this. If this blesses you, to share this with share it with other people. You download it and listen again. So we'll see you tomorrow, 9 a.m. UK time, when we continue on this series. We want to say stay blessed and stay in the place of blessing, which is the Word of God, the revealed Word of God. So bye from us here. Bye.